If you've ever struggled with purpose, you are not alone. I'll be back in just a moment to talk about it.
This is Nero Feliciano, and welcome to the All Things Life podcast. I'm a wife, a mom of four, and a cognitive psychotherapist. And I'm really excited to share these conversations and interviews with you that will hopefully help you live a healthier, fuller, and more peaceful life.
Well, welcome back to the podcast. I am actually really excited about this week because I have waited completely unintentionally, but I've still waited for almost 2 years. It's actually been 2 years this past week to release this talk. It has been on my mind, but for some reason or another, it just hasn't been the right time. And I really feel like because I believe God is so intentional that there's a reason that this talk is coming out into the world right now. And if I get any info on that after the fact, I will let you know. But it is a talk about purpose. And the title that I had given it is Dream Big, Discovering Your Purpose, which I think is timely because I think in this season where we've all been on hold, where we've all been inundated and stressed and even reaching our breaking points many times over, we have stopped dreaming. But the one thing I really felt like God was telling me that he wanted me to tell you today was that God has not stopped dreaming for you, and there is much ahead. I hope you're all doing well. I didn't even greet you because I'm so excited about this talk, and I'm not sure why, because I've done a lot of talks that I've really felt like God was there and present, but there was something very special about this one 2 years ago. It happened in a blizzard, which always tends to happen when I'm speaking. There's a blizzard regardless of what time of the year it is. And there was a room full of 200 women who made it out in the blizzard, who came out knowing that we were going to get a ton of snow because they were hungry to hear the word of God and experience what was going to happen that day. And because of that, there was such an energy there. And after the fact, I heard so many stories of people who had heard what they needed to hear. And it was really a beautiful thing. And I am praying that you have that experience in listening to this podcast too. And if you do, let me know. But just back to purpose and dreaming big, it's a question. Do you hear my kids screaming in the background right now? Hold on 1 second. Okay, sorry, I had to shut everybody up. So about dreaming big and purpose. Purpose is something that I work with clients all the time on because people are struggling to find out what they need to do. What is that more that they need? And this is something that is so common that I see year after year, especially for women. And as I've worked with people and as we look for purpose in our day-to-day, God gives us a sense of what that is. And part of that is just staying connected to God. He can bring purpose to every day. And if we're attuned to seeing how he works, that in and of itself becomes fulfilling enough to have a meaningful and full life. And I talk about this in this talk. So this is a long one. You might have to listen to it in a couple of sittings. And some of the sound is off because literally instead of being hooked up to a mic, that recording did not work that day. And instead we had a video camera in the back of the room. So you might hear some random people talking and there might seem that there might be words that are kind of muffled. But this entire talk, the video is on my YouTube channel as well. So you can see it and watch it there if you want to. And it has some subtitles. There's one part of the talk I'm going to tell you about right now. And that is the story I tell when I walk out of a restaurant and I had just asked God for something and my kids had pointed to something up in the sky. It was a skywriter. And I show a picture in the talk, and you're not going to be able to see that picture. But what that picture said, what that skywriter wrote in that moment was huge letters in the sky above the entire place that we were standing. And the word he wrote was Jesus. So just so you know that going into the talk. Well, I will be back around the other side after you hear it to give you some final comments. And I also am going to share with you an excerpt of my book, which is really weird to say, but exciting. God is doing a lot of things in that arena. But again, I hope you're doing well. I hope this blesses you. So here is my talk from the Women's Conference at Walnut Hill Community Church 2 years ago, 2019.
I walked in here and I was like, this place is lit. You got here in the snow. Because snow is no match for fire. The Holy Spirit is here and there is nowhere else I'd rather be than with you in this moment. So my name is Nero Feliciano. I'm a psychotherapist. When I walked in, there was a woman walking in here with a walker. Where are you, woman with a walker? God has a word for you today because you gave a lot to get here. And you know what? God is not going to let you outgive him. So she made it here in a walker. You made it here in the snow. God is about to drop something on this place, and I'm excited to be a part of it. Just so you know, where's my dear, gorgeous friend, Becca Mowry, who just prayed for me? I heard that you said, tell Nero she has 10 minutes to speak, so then she'll end on time? Lucky I like you. I am the friend Lynn was talking about when she says people who are late. This was actually a great day because I just got out of driving her to the airport ever in her life. I drive a full-size Escalade. I can fit a lot of bags, but that's okay. You're a boss, Pastor. Your boss. I am known to run long and be late, and I'm going to tell you the reason is because I'm brown. And I run on what's called CPT. Colored people time. I taught many a white person about colored people time, including your husband, Becca. This is why the Brazilians and the Indians, we come to the 11. That's like our 9. Right? Amen to that? I mean, the 8:30 is like a midnight mass. And I'm sorry for those of you brown people that are on time. As a therapist, I'm going to make one suggestion. Do the Find Your Ancestry test. When that 2% Norwegian comes back, I'm not going to say I told you so, but that's what it is. But I'm going to do my best. So I'm here today because, I'll tell you, it's been a week, but I'm here today because I believe God has not just a word for each of us, including myself, and I actually got mine before I got up here, someone gave it to me, but a life-changing word. And there have been women who've been praying for you for years, for 6 months, and I'm not going to lie, I have not been one of them. I've been praying for 3 days for you. But I've been praying that not just a life-changing word, but a transformational word, a word that's going to change how you think, how you see, how you experience God, and what your next steps are going to be when you walk out of here. So are we ready for this? Are we ready for this to happen? All right. The title of my talk is Dream Big, Discovering Your Purpose. Because this is a question I get a lot from my clients. What am I supposed to do? What's my purpose? So I thought about, let's talk about that today. And I'm going to talk a little bit about hearing from the Lord. And if that is a new concept for you, don't freak out. I'm not talking about crazy. I'm kind of an expert in crazy on several levels. But I'm going to show you what that looks like to hear from the Lord. And he speaks, the Bible talks about God speaking in a still small voice. But sometimes he speaks loud. And that looks like many different things. And I'm going to talk to you about the truth of my life and how God has spoken to me. And most of what I'm going to talk to you about has happened in the last 60 days. Some of it in the last 2 weeks. So, you know, I can pray about my talks for months. They asked me like a year ago to speak today. But I don't get anything. I don't get anything. And I'm last minute, and God works with that because he told me this time, I'm going to first make you live it before you give it. So that's what I've been doing for the last 60 days. And all of this started about 2 months ago. And I have started to experience something in my life with the Lord that I haven't had since my 20s. I felt like I've been swept up in this whirlwind love affair where I can't wait to hear from him every day and see him and understand it. It's kind of how I felt like when I first met my husband. Correction, how I feel about my husband every day. But going on videotape. Watch your words. And it started with a fast. So every January, my mother and sisters and I, we do the Daniel fast. And I'm not going to lie, it's kind of the Daniel slash muffin top fast. Because for me, it's like 70% spiritual, 30% aesthetic to get rid of like the 10 pounds at Christmas that I gained. But God knows my heart. That's a joke. It started with this fast. And the reason we do it in January is because it's always a good time to renew. And I have also felt like God has been taking my life in directions that I didn't really expect. And I just want to make sure I was aligning and tracking with the Lord. And I avoided fasts for a long time. But I do believe that there are breakthroughs in fasts. I've also realized the reason why Jesus went to the wilderness when he fasted. Because after 20 days of no bread and sugar, like, we should not be around people. If I had superpowers, I would not use them for good at that time. So I'm just going to talk to you about the things that started happening during this period of fasting. And it kind of started off with a meeting. I met with Brian Mowry to talk about the sermon from last weekend. Were any of you here last weekend?
Yeah.
He's such a good guy. He like, makes it really easy. And I was sitting down with him, and I said to him, you know, and we're talking about, I have four kids, I have a practice, I see a lot of people call me for help, which is a blessing, but it takes up a lot of time. And I was saying to him, you know, I was writing these talks as well. I do a lot of my work after 10 o'clock at night when my kids are asleep. And I was saying, you know, Brian, the only reason I'm doing this at this point is obedience. You know, because God gives me these ideas, and I feel like he's put people in my path, and he's called me in this direction. But I want to be, and I thought, and I'd sitting on the couch watching This Is Us and crying like everybody else. I'm going to be writing a talk at that time. But I'm doing it because I feel like this is really what God wants me to do, and I'm being obedient. So the day after I met with him was a snow day. Which, when you're a working mom, a snow day is like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Four kids in the house. Luckily, I have the type of job where we can do it on Skype, on FaceTime, as therapists. So my assistant, Amy, who's amazing and ridiculously prophetic, sometimes I feel like I work for her a lot of times, she said, okay, we rescheduled seven of those sessions on FaceTime. So I'm sitting there in my house. On FaceTime, four kids are running around. My Carolina, who's five, is like popping into my sessions and waving to my clients. And I was just feeling pressed. And not only that, we had just found out a couple weeks back that my sister-in-law was diagnosed with a recurrence of breast cancer. And I said to my husband, I think we need to go. The kids are seeing her. We have February break. And he was like, you know, why don't we wait for April? And I was like, I think we need to go now. And not because I was feeling like ominous, it was because I really want to be on a beach in April. So I was like, let's just go soon. So that was coming up in 2 days. I hadn't packed. And I was sitting there that day. And all of a sudden I get a text message from someone, Donna Budd, if you know her. She's a prayer warrior, prophetic. And I hadn't talked to her since August. And she texted me. She said, the Lord has put you on my heart. And I just wanted to let you know, you're in the storm right now, you're in the fire, but there's a promotion on the other side. So stay in it. And there was a storm that day. And then she threw this at me. She said, read Isaiah 56. So I was like, I don't have time to read Isaiah 56 right now. You know, I'm trying to work, I'm trying to do the kids. So Amy had called me and I said, Amy, can you just look up Isaiah 56 for me and tell me what it says? And she said, God gave me an assistant because he knew I could not do this on my own, right? He brings you what you need. So she's like, okay. So she just starts laughing. And she goes, you want to know what the title of this chapter is? I said, what? She goes, The Blessings of Obedience. I said, all right, I'm going to get through it. I'm going to get through it. She goes, actually, you know how you're going to Florida in 2 days? I said, yeah. She said, well, God just told me that he wants to bless you. I was like, yeah. She's like, yeah, bless you. I was like, we're going to see family. And I said, okay. She goes, so just think about it. How do you want to be blessed on this trip?
He's like, all right, I'll think about it. So we leave for Florida. And we knew what we were going to get into. I mean, we really didn't know, because at that point, my sister-in-law was just going to start chemo. And what happened was she ended up being hospitalized for pneumonia. And we knew that the kids were going to walk into this. So we said, okay, we're going to just take you to Disney for a couple days. And I actually found this really great deal on a hotel in Disney. So we were going there first. And then we were going to see my sister-in-law. So I looked at the weather, rain, Florida, 60 degrees, which sounds great. But when you go to Florida, you like want 80. And we arrived in Tampa and drove to the Disney Hotel. And it was 82 degrees. And it stayed that way for the rest of the trip. So I'm like, oh, this is so nice, you know? We get to the hotel, and we go to check in. And the lady goes, okay, since it's Valentine's Day, I'm going to upgrade you. And this is me. Who's she talking to? Because no one's ever upgraded me for anything that I haven't paid for in my life. So I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean here? And she goes, well, I'm putting you on this floor that there's a lounge. And there is free food and alcohol and desserts all day long there for you. Free alcohol at Disney. I was like, this is a fairy tale. We spent one day in Disney, and I came home, and I walked out of the elevator, and the Disney attendant came up to me, and she goes, oh. And it was a great day. She goes, you spent four days in Disney with your kids, or a whole day in Disney with your four kids. I said, yeah. She goes, you must be really tired. Do you want a glass of champagne? I was like, are you my fairy godmother? I was like, forget the dress, just bring me the booze. And maybe some shoes. Sorry, that I just sealed it, that they're never going to ask me to speak here. I told you, I'm like, I cross that line sometimes, Becca. So we had a great day. And the next day, we went to Disney, and it was just beautiful again. We're walking around. There was a restaurant that I want to go to that said no reservations, because people book Disney like 6 months before it comes out. You know, I don't run like that. So I get there. They're like, no, we have space. Come right in. We were enjoying the time with kids. And I get to that restaurant. I'm sitting there. I'm like, God, I do feel blessed. But is this from you? This is from you. Like, how do I know? Now, people, I've been a Christian for over four decades. I've seen God work, but we have those moments where we're like, and I even went as far as to say, how about a sign, you know? But I took it back right away. I said, no, I don't need a sign. I know this is for you. I know you're over all of this. So we walk outside, beautiful day. My son goes, Mama, look, it's a Skywriter. And I was like, oh, that's great, which is exactly what I say when I'm not paying attention to them. And they know this now. They got that. So they go, Mother, look. So I looked up in the sky, and this is what I saw. Do you have that image back there? And I looked up and I said, holy which is not what I recommend how you respond when the God of the universe gives you something. But it was like God told me, if that's what you need, I will give it to you. And what I'm here to tell you today is that God knows what's going on in your life. He is detailed. And if you need it, he will write it in the sky for you until you get it. Now, the amazing thing, though, was I didn't need any of it. Because coming through this fast, I was just so filled by the process of hearing from the Lord and seeing him and learning about him and seeing that he is directing my life in these incredible ways just by what I was getting. I didn't need it. But it was more, as the verse said, more than I could ask or imagine. And I'm not special. God is offering this to all of us today, to any of us, wherever you are. I think the key, though, is to seek him first, to go to him first, to know that he's enough. He can be, you might not know what you're doing in your life, but just being filled by him, hearing from him, is enough, and he'll get you there. He'll get you where you need to go. So I want to talk a little bit about what happened next. So we were filled, right? And we knew that we were walking into a situation that was tough because my sister-in-law started going downhill from then. And I started to realize what our purpose was. Because when we got there, we were so full that it was so easy to pour out. We poured out to this woman who was sick, to her family that was broken. And it was hard, but it felt effortless at times, you know? Just because we were filled from the source. And he had far more than we were able to give in those moments. And I started to realize, this is purpose. And mind you, we didn't even know that that was going to be our purpose till we got there. We didn't know. So we get to know God. We receive his love. He fills us. And he fills us not only to tell us that he loves us, but so that we can start to pour out so that other people are filled and they know it. And that is the cycle of purpose God is calling all of us in today, whether or not we know where we're going. Oh, I got more. So we're gonna talk about finding your purpose. And something that I want to just put out there, because my talk is based on the truth of these two verses today. One is Romans 8:28. And we know for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And this is a little bit of a switch in the translation, because it starts out, for we know that those who love God. That's the later. All things work for good. And the other verse was the one that Joy read. And I'm just going to read the part that was really significant to me over these last 60 days. Here at 18. It has the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ and this heart. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. We don't need the knowledge. We need the love. We need to receive the love first. And he will give us the knowledge. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's what I'm talking about today. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that's worked within us. And this is the dream big part. Because what I'm here to tell you today is that God has bigger dreams for you than you have for yourself. God is going to bring you the people and the strength and the opportunities to make it happen. You just have to stay connected to him. And it is going to be, and this has been my prayer for you, that you experience the immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine as you start to walk out of here today. And I think some of you are experiencing it here today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's talk about what prevents us from discovering our purpose. A big one, and I was pressed up against it this week, is resistance. In the church, we've called it spiritual warfare. Now the secular world is starting to recognize it as resistance. In fact, a very popular author, Stephen Pressfield, he wrote a book, The War of Art. I heard him on Oprah's Super Soul Conversations. I like that podcast. Said, resistance obstructs movement only from a lower sphere to a higher. It kicks in when we seek to pursue a calling or evolve to a higher station morally, ethically, or spiritually. Friends, this is warfare. When we are walking in God's path, that path is narrow. When you're walking in God's path, you are not a threat. You are a threat to the enemy. So he's going to come up against you. And he does it in a few ways. So sometimes you're walking like, oh, I think this is what God wants for me. And we'll talk about testing that. And we feel like, hey, but all this stuff is happening. Maybe this is not what God wants for me. I'm telling you, that is resistance. Because when you are getting to that place, that higher place where God is calling you to, everything is going to come at you. And now I've gotten to the point where I just expect it. I expect it. I almost use it as confirmation that I might be going in the right direction. Because if I'm not, the enemy doesn't want anything to do with me. He has other people, like Becca, to bother. So I say that he uses three unwanted visitors to bring about this resistance. And they attack you in the mind and in the spirit. I secretly call them the in-laws of your mind, for those of you who can relate to me on that. Enemy territory, self-doubt, unbelief, and fear. And there are situations, too, that he orchestrates, but these are three big ones in our culture. And let's talk about them for a second. Self-doubt. Those statements, I'm not good enough, I'm not wise enough, I'm not strong enough, I don't have the money to do it. Nothing is better than social media for making us self-doubt, right? It's like we're comparing our dirty socks, everyday laundry of our life, to someone's highlight reel that is filtered and positioned, and we're thinking that we are not enough, right? So what God is saying, just look ahead, put your blinders on, look at what I'm doing in your life, look at what is good, look at what I've done in the past. Have I let you down? Have I left you? You know? He's saying, direct your focus. This week, as I said, it's been a tough week. And in fact, I was looking forward to seeing how the Holy Spirit showed up, because I have not run through this talk from start to finish, I'm going to be honest with you. I slept for 4.5 hours last night. And I was telling this to my dear friend, Kristen Candula, where are you? Because I said, you know, I go long sometimes. She's like, girl, you know we got to eat today. So I was telling her, she's like, don't worry, I'll pray you through it. And she said to me, don't worry, Nero. And she wasn't saying, like, you're a good speaker, you're a good coach. She was, if all else fails, you look hot. We all need friends like that, right? That saying, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. That's my girl, thank you. That's actually all I needed to hear today. So anyway, I woke up from a sleep a few days ago, and in my mind, I was like foggy, it's probably like 4 a.m. God brought that verse to me, my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in weakness. And I woke up and I was like, God, you want me to talk about that verse, don't you? I need to wake up and write it down. But I saw, and now at this point, it was 6 a.m, a text come through. And let me tell you, who you surround yourself with, who you choose to surround yourself with, also helps push you along the path that God has for you, or push you away from that path. And in the past week, God has asked me to call certain people in my life and say, would you come around and pray for me? And these are godly women, women who've shown me that they've been wise, who are crazy prophetic. So that text from 6 a.m. came from one of them, Lisa Balaka. And I opened my phone, and the first thing it said, the first thing was, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And it had that verse there for me. So God will speak to you through the people you choose to surround yourself with. So pick wisely. He's put them in your life for a reason. Use them. So the reason why he wanted me to speak about this is, why don't I tell you, this is not about you being good enough. This is not about you being strong enough. This is about God being good enough and doing it through you. And when we are weak, is when we really know it's him. Which is why I was excited for the Holy Spirit to drop it like it's hot today, right? Unbelief. Maybe God's promises are true, but not for us. We lose faith. We ask for signs. Even if God did it on Sunday, we might forget about it by Friday, right? And that also recognizes the enemy uses unbelief. And I'm going to give you a great example of this, too. I always talk about my poor husband. He's really a good sport. But he's fearless. He's fearless. He's Puerto Rican. He grew up 1 of 5 boys. He's the youngest. He went through life as a fighter. And I'm going to just tell you, this is like how the two of us think differently. My mind like goes to the worst case scenario all the time. He doesn't think these things would happen to him. The first time he went skydiving, the first and last time, he got to the plane, right? And he tells me there was a guy banging out a dent on the outside of the plane because a Navy SEAL who had done 10,000 jumps had jumped the day before, hit his head and died.
Oh.
Yes. And I said, you got on the plane? And he didn't tell me until after he jumped, because, you know, that wouldn't have happened otherwise. And he goes, yeah. He goes, I figured if it happened yesterday, the chance of it happening today were like impossible. Who thinks like this? They're crazy people. And I know my crazy. So, anyway, my husband resigned from his job December 31st. And this was coming. This is something that the Lord had led him to for a while, and we've been praying about it. And he had two jobs lined up in January. One New Jersey, one in New York. And the New York one he's been doing for a while, for a year, just 2 days, one day a week. But now he was switching to 2 days. So come January 10th, right? I say to him, so when are you starting the New Jersey job? Like, he was home a lot, you know? He's helpful, but he was home a lot. And he said, oh, you know, I just found out last week, because I had asked him before, do you want to take some time off? And he's a workhorse. He's worked 40 hours a week since his freshman year in high school or more. He's a physician. So I said to him, you take time off? He's like, no. But at that moment, he told me, I'm actually not going to be able to start the other job for 3 months. And I was like, we got bills to pay. We have 4 kids. I'm not working more than I'm working right now. And he's like, you know what? I think we're going to be okay. Now, the only thing my husband is anxious about is money. Ever in his life, because he grew up so poor. Every time I plan a vacation, he goes, you know, I'm Puerto Rican, not rich to Rican. That gets old really fast. But he was telling me he was going to be okay. And I was like, okay. And he goes, honestly, Mom, this is the first break I've gotten, I think, in my whole life. And when he said that, that triggered something in me. I remembered what it was. In 2018, when I did the Daniel fast, I went back to my journal and I saw it on January 30th, 2018. I said, when Ed leaves this job, God, give him a break of 3 months. Where he would still get paid. And what happened is that New Jersey job, or the New York job that he worked for a whole year, they hadn't paid him, and it was a friend of his. And he didn't talk to him about it because his friend was going through a tough time. All that money started coming in January, and it was exactly what he needed to get him out of the game. Your friends, for unbelief, write down your prayers, because we forget it. And God answered mine, and I was pissed about it. It's amazing, because sometimes it's going to happen, but it's going to happen when you need it. It's going to happen when it can take you to that higher level of that plan that God has for your life. But don't forget it. Don't forget it. Write it down. It will get you over the unbelief. Failure, fear of failure. Fear of failure, that's a big one. I hear about this a lot in my practice. And I've struggled with it in my own life. People are scared, they're worried. What am I gonna do when I get there? You know, what happens if this happens? And what I'm telling you today is don't worry about what God wants you to do 10 steps down the line. If you haven't done that one step he's put in front of you right now, right? Because as you take that step, he will give you the other one, and he'll give you the other one. And your path may be, in your mind, going this way, but he might take you this way, right? And he will do it in a way so that in the process, you will receive the gifts that you need. So when you get to that mountaintop, you'll recognize it as a mountain. You'll have the skills you need and the insight you need to embrace it as a mountain. You'll be able to enjoy it as a mountain. Like, when has God ever given anybody in the Bible the whole picture? Right? Did he say to Moses, hey, yeah, I'm going to get you out of Egypt, but, oh, just so you know, you're going to come to this sea? And I'll get you through that too, but then you're just going to be walking around for 40 days? We wouldn't do anything if we knew the whole thing. But he gives it to you when you need it, so you can grow in the way he needs you to grow, to develop what you need to develop, so when you get there, you can fully be there, right? What I talked about a couple years ago at the Advent breakfast, is anyone there at the Advent breakfast? So some of you know my story, some of you don't. I was in med school at one point, and I felt God really called me out of it into this other career. But what I didn't talk about that day was that would never have happened, even though God gave me all these signs and people speaking to me, and I knew that would not have happened if not for a failure. I failed a big test at the end of my first year of med school. And I spoke with my dean, and they said, you know, you can go on to the next year, but you have to take this test. And it was going to take me a few months to study for it. I was like, okay, sure, I'll do it. I went back and I looked at my answer sheet from that test. And this was a test, like I said, that took months to study for. I failed by 3 questions. And when I looked at my answer sheet, I had 12 questions down where I had narrowed it down to 2 answers, and I picked the wrong one for all 12. So for me, I was like, I know I can pass this, I'll take it again. I was like, God, but I had the answers right there. If you wanted me to pass this test, and mind you, there were other things that confirmed this, I would have passed. So what I did was I took the year off, because I wanted to wait on the Lord, and I wanted to confirm it. And my story that I told before, God did confirm it in amazing ways. But do you know what I did? When I took the year off for med school that I spent my whole life trying to work towards, I'm Asian. We, like, live to breed doctors. My parents are doctors. My uncles and aunts are doctors. My sisters are doctors. I went to work as a salesperson at Williams-Sonoma. From people who treated me like I worked for $9 an hour, and all I was capable of was selling a Kefalon pan, which, by the way, is a great product. God didn't tell me that one day he would change my direction. He didn't tell me that I would direct a group of 9 other therapists. He didn't tell me that I would be speaking. Do you know why me speaking is a testimony? Do you know why me going long is a testimony? Because I was someone who never spoke in class until my 2nd graduate school. I was so anxious in my head. I didn't think I had anything valuable to say. This, me going long, and I'm 7 minutes long already, is a testimony that God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Right? And he'll do it for you if you allow him to. God knows our failures. He knows our mistakes that we're going to make. And he has made provisions for it in our purpose. God does not care about perfection. He cares about persistence. He cares about perseverance. That we keep going back. That we keep trying. Right? And he will meet us there. And I go back to the truth that we find in Isaiah 22. This is also echoed in Revelation 3:7. When he opens doors, no one will be able to close them. And when he closes doors, no one will be able to open them. God has accounted for our mistakes. He's accounted for our failures. It does not change where he's taking us in terms of our purpose. He knows it. And then in Deuteronomy, he's gracious. 30, verse 3. God, your God, will restore everything you've lost. He'll have compassion on you. He'll come back and pick up the pieces from all the places where you were scattered. So we don't lose anything. We gain through the failure. What we view as a failure, God views as a springboard to launch you to the next level of your purpose. If you let him do it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So how do we discover this? I know you gotta eat. I know you gotta eat. We have to take time to dream big. Dream big. And there was a quote by C.S. Lewis. You all know C.S. Lewis?
Yes.
Yeah. Language and Order, right? That stuck with me for the last 2 decades. It would seem our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around about with drink and sex and ambition. When infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased. God wants more from you, bigger from you than you want for yourself.
Yeah.
Let him write your story. Let him write it. Let's not confine him to the story the way we think this all needs to work out. Because God will take it if we hand him that empty page and say, you write my story. I'm just going to trust you every day. Give me my purpose for today. He will get us there. And it will be more than you can ask or imagine.
Yeah.
There's some of us in here that are living proof of that. So first, seek him. Solidify your relationship with the Lord. Seek him with all your heart. Go to him. Ask for prayer from other people if you're having blocks in this. The Holy Spirit will intercede for you. Sometimes I just tell my clients, just sit in the presence of God. You don't have to say anything. Sometimes our sorrow is so great, we cannot pray. But God just wants our presence. He doesn't need our words all the time. If you're looking for a breakthrough, I can tell you a fast might do it for you. You might feel like that right now, you're fasting. So keeping you from your life. Right? The Bible says, be filled with the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart first. And this, God told me to say, the desires of your heart have to line up with Scripture. Okay? Because if your desire is for that married man or another man that's not your man, I don't want to say this, but God made me say this, that is not of God, walk away from it. And I've dealt with it as much in the church as I have out of it in my practice. Show me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. Surround yourself with godly people who are not going to tell you what you want to hear, but who are going to point you to the truth of God, who are going to pray for you, who are going to send you verses at 6 in the morning. I was already up, you didn't wake me up. Thank you. And encourage you. And this is a big one. Work on yourself. When you don't know what God wants you to do, work on being who he wants you to be. Because that's work. Work on being filled with gratitude, showing love, honoring. These are full-time jobs in and of itself, right? Because when we do that, and I can tell you the science backs it up, the research backs it up, when we do those things, even when we don't feel like it, God has created us. He's wired our brains to release neurotransmitters such as dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin that generate those feelings that we are working towards. So sometimes the action, that step of faith, that obedience will release the emotion, release the feeling. So don't wait until you wait for it. You hear me?
Yes.
Work on yourself. God is more concerned with who you are than what you're doing.
Some of the videos are shorter according to Jim.
And when you do that, when you live each day asking God, show me my purpose, whatever it is, sometimes it's kids, sometimes it's laundry, sometimes it's bigger things. The Bible tells us in Matthew 25:21, you have been faithful with a few things, yeah, I will put you in charge of many things. Right? God does not forget those small things. He sees it. And his dream for you is bigger than you can imagine. I had a friend, Pastor Rob Strong, call me when I was on maternity. I just left my practice to go support my husband who was doing his fellowship in D.C. And I had a little 18-month-old and a newborn who had just spit up all over me. And I had left a very successful practice. I felt like God called me to spend that year with my husband. And he called me and he said, Narelle, I heard a speaker today and she reminded me of one person. Friends, this was 10 years ago and I wasn't speaking at that time. And he said, it was you. And he said, God has this for you. He has it for you. It won't happen now. Give it 10 years. My son just turned 10 last week. So bigger dreams, and these people will speak it into your life. When we track with God, when we ask God to be all we need to be filled, what he will do, you're inviting the supernatural, you're inviting the divine to come intervene. And you will start to see things and experiences through beyond all you can ask or imagine. Because God doesn't do it like we do it. It is outside of our box, outside of that box. So get ready for it. Get ready for it. So take that first step. Sometimes we do just have to make a decision, though, right? And we can pray about it, and sometimes we feel like that answer hasn't come. Sometimes we have to take that first step and see what God does. And like I said, if you fail, God has made provisions in your purpose for failure. He is not going to shut the door to that purpose. Just take that first step. Amy always tells me, write a crappy draft. Write a crappy draft, because it's better than no draft. Brene Brown, do you know Brene Brown, anybody? Psychologist says, the Chinese food takeout dinner that I hosted for 10 people was better than the fancy dinner party I never had. Just take a first step, do what you can, and God will meet you there, because like I said, this is not about our strength, this is about God's strength and what he's going to do in you if you're willing to let him do it and let go of the way you think things need to be done. I had a client that I saw the other day, which is awesome. She's here somewhere. We had a session a couple weeks ago, and she said to me, I just have to figure out what I'm going to do. My girls are graduating from college. I really want to hear from the Lord. And I was like, yes, focus on that. Focus on hearing from the Lord. Listen to podcasts. Start reading. Start praying. Do what you need to do. And she came back 2 weeks later. She goes, I'm doing okay. And, you know, all these things have started happening to my life, and I've been learning. And it's almost like the purpose doesn't matter anymore, because I'm just receiving so much from the Lord. And that's what this is about. We can let go of the purpose because we have our purpose. And he will give you one. This is about letting go of it and not doing anything with your life. God wants to use your life. He wants to do great things for you. He has something for you out there. It's just that does not need to be our focus up, right? We can be far filled just by being in his presence.
Yeah. Yeah.
So today, I just wanted to end soon. And I usually end with a prayer, but today God told me, no, you're going to end with a declaration and a decree, right? So will you just stand up for a minute, and if you're ready for this, will you just repeat this after me as we go along? And let me tell you something cool, right? So the decree that God put on my heart was about grace and favor. And inviting that into today as a new beginning. And when I looked at the weather yesterday, it said 5 to 8 inches of snow where I'm 5 to 8 inches. So I called Amy, my assistant, and I said, Amy, 5 to 8 inches of snow. She goes, bro, you know, I'm on it. Actually, we should look up the significance of 5 to 8 inches. She goes, the number 5, the number 8. I was like, okay, just look it up and send it to me, okay? So she did. And this is what she said. The number 5 biblically signifies grace and favor, and the number 8, a new beginning. So, ladies, we're supposed to declare this today. Say this after me. Today I declare it's a new day. I declare that the Lord will grant me his favor.
I declare that the Lord will grant me his favor.
And his honor.
And his honor.
As I walk led by the Holy Spirit.
As I walk led by the Holy Spirit.
I declare that the strongholds in my life will be broken.
I declare that the strongholds in my life will be broken.
And my past and present hurts.
My past and present hurts.
Will be healed.
Will be healed.
I declare that God would restore,
I declare that God would restore
what I have lost,
what I have lost
according to his perfect plan for my life.
According to his perfect plan for my life.
I declare that I will trust God,
I declare that I will trust God
with my purpose and my future.
With my purpose and my future.
I declare that all things are working for good in my life.
I declare that all things are working for good.
And I decree,
that
what is to come,
is above all
that I can ask or imagine. And when we all agree upon this, we all say in the name of Jesus together,
Amen.
Amen, right? So have a seat for a second. I said to make sure we got to that. So just one more thing, just so you know, I'm literally getting off the stage and walking out the door, and there's a car that's going to meet me to take me to the airport, which kind of makes me feel a little bit like J-Lo, minus the really nice butt. But it's because I'm headed to my sister-in-law's funeral, who died on Sunday. So it was a struggle for me to work out being here, because the funeral was supposed to be at 9 a.m. And I'm just going to share this to you, because I'm going to show you how God works things out, right? But I really felt like God had a word for you, and I had to be here, and I talked to my mom about it. And honestly, had God not given me that time last week, I would have been there. I would have been there. And I talked to my mom, who's a godly woman, and she said, Rome, this is your let the dead bury their dead moment. Mm-hmm. And I said, and I have a piece about it. I need to be here. So I asked if I could move my talk up, and Lynn was gracious to do it, because I was supposed to speak in the afternoon. And I said, at least I'll get there for the evening so I can be with the family. So they moved my talk, I booked my flight. 30 seconds later, I get a text that says, we had to move the service to 7 p.m. So I'm gonna make it.
Woo! Yeah!
And pray for me, because I'm the person who would wear a parachute on a commercial airline if they let me when I get there. But this is to say, God always doesn't answer the way we want him to,
because
I pray, But we can look for his handprints and footprints on the shadows of our life.
Mm.
There. One last thing. So I entitled this talk Dream Big, right? And this is just another way God will speak to you through things that happen. And I was walking around my house at 11 o'clock at night last night, and I was like, I haven't written this talk yet. I got to write this talk right now. But I've been grieving this week, too. It's been tough. And I went over there, and I picked up this rock, and my Sophia, who's 7, brought these rocks home a month ago with painted pictures. I've been using them for a paper week. And I picked one up because I looked at it, it was pretty, and I read it, and it says, dream big. So if we don't do it, the rocks are going to cry out.
Wow.
Right. So we've declared it, we've decreed it, start expecting that it's happening in your life right now, and go out there and eat your lunch. God bless you.
Woo!
Thank you so much.
So that's that, and I hope you got something from it. I do want to share a little excerpt of my book, but before I do that, let me just tell you a story. In the beginning, there was a woman who came into the auditorium, and like I said, there was a blizzard, and she was coming in on a walk with a walker, and she was an older woman, and I saw her, and I walked by her as I was walking into the auditorium, and she was kind of struggling to get there. And when I got on stage, I just really felt powerfully that God had a word for her, that she had come for a purpose, and she was going to leave having heard from the Lord and having that purpose fulfilled. Several months later, I was having a conversation with someone, and I had called her out during the talk, as you've heard, the woman in the walker. And someone said to me, did you ever hear the story about the woman in the walker? And I said, no, what happened? And she said, well, she had this disagreement. I feel like I probably told this story on the podcast, but who knows? That's where my brain is these days. She said she was having this struggle trying to make a decision that involved her two daughters, and she was in much turmoil about it. She couldn't come to a resolution about it. And during that conference, she got the answer that she wanted, and she left feeling completely peaceful, like she had never felt before. She made the decision. Everybody was in agreement with it. So she did come for a reason, and she left with what she wanted to leave with. And I had just heard other stories like that coming out of this conference. And when we make time for God, when we make time to put ourselves in places where we know God is going to be, where the Holy Spirit is going to speak, God will honor that. You can never outgive God. I go back to that all the time in my life. So whatever your sacrifice is, God sees it, and I know he will multiply it. So I just want to tell you that quick story, and I want to read you this piece in my book. I'll read you two parts, because we're already going on probably like day two of you listening to this. So let me read you this for my book. We are constantly pressured to find our purpose, fight for happiness, unleash our passions, because we deserve more than life is offering us right now. But what if we don't know what any of those things really are? In that case, the more only leads to more insecurity, more uncertainty, and more frustration. Instead, what if we were told that within our own mind and soul, we held the keys to those very real things, deeper than any one purpose or passion? Those things that enable us to breathe in life in front of us, exactly as it is, a breath full of curiosity, a vivid tingling awareness, and an appreciation for what is, rather than what it could be. Maybe that is a purpose in and of itself, and one that will finally uncover what we are truly longing for. I don't believe we were put on this earth merely to perform or produce, nor does our value depend on those things. Rather, our purpose is just to be, both for ourselves and for each other, to be the tangible embodiments of light, hope, strength, love, peace. If good things come out of a life well lived in this way, and they will, that is a gift for us to give both to ourselves and to others. Yet we should never measure our own self-worth by the same measures we use for objects lacking a soul. Y'all, let me tell you, that is God, because I am not that deep. I'm not that deep. Sometimes I write things and I know that that's God, because I know that didn't come from me. But there's some truth in there. So I just wanted to share that with you. I hope you have a great week. Be well, live full, and I will be back again soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening today. And if you have a second, go on the Apple Podcast app and rate this podcast. I want to know what you liked and what you didn't like and what you want more of. And connect with me. I'd love to hear from you on any of my social media at Nero Feliciano, the Incidental Therapist on Facebook, and Nero Feliciano on Instagram. And you can also connect with me through my website, Nero Feliciano. So until the next time, have a great day, be well, and live full.